4:00, Sunday night, Shara Bitochen, Perek Shlishi, Vahashvius. He's enumerating the seven parts of the first of five attitudes that you have to have. And he split up the first one into the seven parts of Perek Beis, and we're up to the seventh. We really started it last week. Let's go over it. The Hashviyas, the seventh one, is Sheyizbarilo. The person has to, you know, we read it, you know, we slide over the words. When the Chavis Halvavah says Yizbarilo, it means you have to contemplate it and think about it, and get clear, and really believe it, and have it as a clarity. And if you're not sure, or if you have to maybe bring rayas, you have to talk to people who will be mechazik, but you can't develop full bitachon unless it's clear to you, ki yesh l'chol hove ba'olam hazeh, that everything that exists in this world, etzem, whether it's an object, omikre, or an occurrence, or a happening, gvul mesuyim, Hashem has a plan. It exists at a certain point in time and space, in history, or in your life, or at this point in time. Hashem, it's planned. It's not by accident. It didn't just happen to be there at this point in time. But there's a plan. Hashem's running the world with a plan. It looks chaotic, but there's a plan. Lo Yosef, like a huge jigsaw puzzle. Huge, huge jigsaw puzzle. And Hashem's putting in the pieces, each piece where it belongs. And everybody gets, and you have to believe that. You have to believe there's a plan. And if someone gets sick and was incapacitated, or someone gets depressed for a few weeks, it was supposed to happen at this point in time, and there's a reason why it happened at this point in time, and whatever the reason is, but it's not like, oh, it happened now, because we look at it that, oh, it happened now, because the events caused it. But Hashem is maneuvering the events to make it happen at this point in time. So everything has a plan. Lo Yosef, lo Yigra, al Mashe Gozer Oser Habori. And it's not going to be more intense or less intense than that's also part of the plan. When it happens is part of the plan, and the degree to which it happens is part of the plan. If Hashem's Gozer, it's hard for us to comprehend this. I mean, maybe it's easy to pay lip service to it, but really, you know, a person has a certain tsar. Something happens, and even if you hear something, this is really almost a Hasidish approach to life. The Baal Shem Tov really, from what I see in this forum, this is really the Baal Shem Tov pushed this a lot. It's really from the Chavis Halvavos, that everything that happens to you, it was meant. You see something, and you give a little twinge, it hurts, or it makes you happy. Why talk about it hurts? Maybe it makes you happy. You see something, and you feel good. It's planned. It's planned by Hashem that at this point in time, you should have this amount of pleasure, and that you should see this. And the amount of pleasure is very measured. Not more, not less. That's what he's saying. But Yosef, you see, if you don't believe this, it's difficult to have bitachon. And if you do believe this, and you develop it, and you think, this is a parsha in itself. How do you come to really internalize and actualize and envision? Visualize this belief that this is Hashgacha Pratis. This is what we call Hashgacha Pratis. But it's Hashgacha Pratis to a a very intense degree to the degree, everything, and in what measure and when. That's what he's saying. The lo yigra mashe gozer also abori is borach bekamuso, how much veechuso, how intense uzmano, and exactly when umukomo, and where eimi sheyar bela mashe gozer miyuto. No one can do more. If Hashem, no one can increase what Hashem was gozer. It should be less, and this goes for parnosa too. Belo memaid lemashe gozer ribuyo. Below ma'acher is mashe gozer haktam also. If Hashem wants it to happen at a certain point in time, it's not going to happen later, and it's not going to happen before. Below maktam l'mashe gozer ichuro. V'chol dover shia hepech zeh, and something that looks like it's in violation of this. Something that looks like, oh, this popped up, and it doesn't look like it was planned. It looks chaotic. This happened to happen. It's not true. Harehu hagozer. This is all Hashem was gozer it. Asher kodem bereishis hayadia. Hashem knew that this. Hashem planned and maneuvered and made links in the chain that this should occur at this point in time. Elo sheyesh sibos l'chol hagzeros shekodmu biyudias Hashem yishader b'somam v'lo sibos. We don't see the entire chain of events that ended up with this result. We don't see that chain. It's much too complicated. It stretches over continents. It may stretch over centuries, for all we know. It stretches over, say, over decades. So who knows what happens so that these two people should meet at this point in time and influence one another. So we see something and we say, wow, this is a chiddush. But it's not. It's the end of a chain of events that Hashem planned out the whole chain. And he's at the end of the chain. Umi sheini yodea, someone who doesn't realize this. In yoni ha'olam nidmelo, so things that happen in the world, it seems to him, ki hasiba sheneschatsha, it's that last link in the chain that caused what occurred. Because we're impressed by that last link, and we think that's what caused it. And created the new situation. But really, if we would think about it, it doesn't really make sense. That this, if you say, you know, I learned in history, you know, what caused World War I? So, but somebody assassinated some, anybody you know that stuff?
Franz Joseph.
Yeah, somebody assassinated somebody assassinated someone. You know, if you ask someone how the Intifada started, if anybody remembers, we're going back to the first Intifada, as they call it. So there was a glider that smashed into some, like, you know, something happens, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you say, what caused the Second Lebanon War? You say, they kidnapped Israeli soldiers. It's not rowy. Like, this doesn't bring about that. It's all part of a plan. It's all part of an entire picture. And we who are impressed by the last link, but most of the time, that last link isn't really, it's not really rational that Jeff should cause it. If you say, face, look at Zionism and in Herzl, let's say. So you say, the guy went to a trial, like the Dreyfus trial, and he was affected by it, and from that came. It's not. Territories of Hashem's orchestrating events. So that's all part of all the pieces being in place. Right? And then the Turks had to lose Palestine, and then the British with a mandate, and like hundreds of events, thousands of events, millions, everything had to come together. So that didn't happen because this person did this at this time. That's just part of the jigsaw puzzle. We see what I say, we see what the newspaper reports. So we say, oh, that's the cause. We see cause and effect on a very superficial level, on what we affected by, and what we see, what we read in the newspaper. But it's really a huge master plan. It's like you say, why did these two people get married? So you say, because the Shadchan read the Shidduch, and they went out and they liked each other. But if you think why these two people met, and how come the Shadchan knew them both, and what prompted the Shadchan to think of the Shidduch, and, right, so you start going back one generation, two generations, right? Why did they end up living here? And how did they end up being born? Because their parents had it's enormously complex. And you have to realize there's a balabayas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything with a plan. And he wants everything to be a certain way. And things don't happen Behesach Hadas, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't happen because Hashem's not paying attention. So there's, when Congress passes a law, or the Knesset passes a law, so there's usually something called the law of unintended consequences. They don't chap that because they did this, or something else happens. There's no such thing by the Ribbono Shel Olam. When something happens to someone, so all the dominoes that are affected by that occurrence, whether it's a tragedy or a simcha, and that brings people, let's say, to the same place, everything is planned. That's what you have to knock into your head. That Hashem, that things have enormous chains, the shalshelis of events, and everything is planned and measured by Hashem. How much, how little, when, what time, exactly when it should occur in a person's life. And that's when it's supposed to happen. And he says, if you reflect upon what you think is the cause of the effect, you'll see so many times that it's not rational. It doesn't make sense that such a small thing caused such a huge upheaval. Kvishanu roim, if you look in nature even, shegager echad shel chita, tzomchos mimenu shlosh meyo shibolim, look how one kernel of wheat can make hundreds of shibolim grow, ubechol shiboles korov l'shloshim gargarim, each shiboles has 30 kernels, Beninser, so it turns out, ki hagargar echot siba laseres halofim gargarim o korov luzeh. So he says, in nature, if there wouldn't be a master plan from Hashem, that's what he's saying, it wouldn't make sense. It's not, there's something illogical and irrational that such a small thing can grow into such a huge upheaval. Like, I always think of history that way. Like, if you read history, anything you take and you read, like, Hitler, Yimach Shemai, the guy, how he rose to power, right? So, you read the story, you have to realize Hashem is directing that this should happen. It didn't make any, there were so many points in the story where, who was he? He was a nothing. He was a ne'er-do-well. He was a nothing. He didn't have any support. Sugar, crazy, a pain, like a plane. And Hashem just maneuvered events. It didn't make sense that this person should cause such an upheaval. Well, let's go to the Yiddich Gisa, let's say the other way. The Ponovitcherov in Eretz Yisrael, or the Chazaynish, or Baron Kotler in America. You know, they came, and what did they do? You started a small yeshiva with six guys in Lakewood, and like that kernel of wheat, and all of a sudden, like, it's two, three generations later, and it flowered forth because Hashem is directing things, how Hashem should how things should occur. So if you step back, it doesn't really make sense. It's like the whole Eretz Yisrael, the Yishuv here, it's because of the Dreyfus trial. Doesn't make sense. The Teretz says, yeah, Hashem put everything in place and made all the pieces match up, and then Truman, you know, and then Truman should know this guy, and all these crazy things came together to make it happen. So we have to believe and realize that there's a master plan. Like I said, when Russia fell, like when Russia collapsed, it's like a small little thing. It was Hungary opened up a border, and everybody, until then they were intimidated by Russia, but then they decided from nowhere to open up a border, and everybody rushed into Hungary to be able to get out. And before you knew it, and like in the space of a few weeks, and then months, and then this guy, the guy that just, he just died rather. Some shikr, what was his name? Who just died in Russia?
Nelson.
Well, yeah. And he becomes like a big shot and a hero, and then the Gorbachev, like, who was Russia, Marusha, he starts liberalizing life. It's crazy. But Hashem decided communist Russia should exist this number of years, and then when it's time to go, so even some shikr could make it turn over. So if you say
70 years.
What?
The Chofetz Chaim predicted 70 years.
But then you say, why did Russia fall? So then I told you, in the newspapers, after the fact, they start analyzing it, and they say, because there was no economy, and, you know, they start... So that's what you have to realize. V'kach yeser ha-gagorm ha-nezorm ha-nitom, anything you plant, if you don't realize that there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you would see what comes out of a wheat kernel, v'kach ha-dover b'havoyos gufa adam, how does a person grow? How does a person start? And you think of a person flowering to adulthood, and then the person himself having children, and everything that a person does, and you think, right, how a person started, it's like, there's nothing to it. Tipas Rucha, says in Pirkei Avos. Mamish nothing.
Can I ask another question?
What? Yeah.
In light of what you're saying, is there any value or any purpose to trying to analyze history, given what you're saying? Both on a global level or on a personal level?
Yes, in the following sense, because it says of Pasuk in Chumash, Binushnos, Zchor Yemos Olam, Binushnos Dor Vador. When things happen in history, so they all, you're supposed to see how it happened. In other words, you see a Balgaiva, and you see Paro, you see Aniakche slave Paro, so you see what happened because of that. Haman acted a certain way, and it happened. So, when Hashem, not only is Hashem directing it, but He's writing a script. He's writing the script, so He's not writing the script at random. You know, if you just say Hashem's directing it, so He could be writing a script at random, right? Whatever fault of mind to do, so He's having fun. Oh, let's make the character do this. But it's not like that. He's directing it in a way that Rishonim get their just desserts, Tzaddikim get theirs. What's supposed to happen, happens. So if we were supposed to reflect upon history, first of all, the main reflection on history is to try to see Yad Hashem in history. To see that things really could have so easily gone a different way, and they're like almost inexorably coming to a point, and America was created, punkt, and then all of a sudden the whole world wants to be free and have freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Like all of a sudden, the world used to be a very choking place. It used to be like a big prison. Then the French Revolution and the American Revolution by a bunch of, like, and then you start, if you read American history. So, okay, so the first answer to your question is certainly to see Yad Hashem. But even beyond that, I think you see how people act, and you see how stubbornness, what stubbornness results in, how midos tovos results in things. So Hashem writes the play, writes the script to teach us lessons that he wants to teach us. And that's found, and that comes, I'm saying that based on the pasuk of Zechariah Mosolon, Binushno's Dor Vador, where Rashi says in Chumash, it's in Hazinu, that we're supposed to look at history and reflect upon the lessons that it teaches us. It's not haphazard. So what does the Chavis say about the Seva? Kachu adove bavoyas kufa adam, ushor balei chayim mitipas hazera, כמו הוויס הדוגם הגדול מביצס הדוג על אף חושוסה. Right? In the natural world, the most puny things survive and they flourish. And you can't believe it, right? How do they survive? I don't know much about the natural world. But I know when you start reading about it, you see how animals survive and how they exist, and you see that there's an Odon in charge, and he makes sure that everybody on the food chain gets their food. V'lochein, therefore, he's coming to the point. Tirdus hanefesh, if you exert yourself. I'll say overexert yourself. Why do I say overexert yourself? Because Hashem wants you to exert yourself. Hashem doesn't like lazy people. This is the difficulty of bitachon, that at the same time that you're working on seeing Hashem's hand in everything, and you're working on internalizing that there's a master plan for everything, Hashem is saying that you're not allowed to be lazy, and you have to work industriously and be creative and do. So that's a very, very, very hard balancing act. How do you live this double life? So that's why, but that's how Hashem wants it. And therefore, I say, overexert yourself. You have to stop at a certain point. B'lochein, tirgus hanefesh, to overexert yourself, to try to do and to try to accomplish something. What does the Gemara say? Al titchak es hashoah. Sometimes this is hard. You can't make a rule out of what I'm about to say. You'll say, when does it apply? I don't know. But sometimes you see something's not going, the Gemara wants you to just drop it. Now's not the time for it to happen. So you say, but maybe it's a nisayon. That's what I don't have an answer to. It's true, I don't know. Maybe it is a nisayon. You know, Dovra Melech. Shaul goes into the cave, and Dovra Melech's in the cave, and Shaul doesn't notice David, and he's at David's mercy now. So David's men tell him, this is Mamish Pashet. It's unbelievable. Mosar Hashem, and they invoke Hashem's name, and they invoke a Nevuah. That must have been told to David. We don't know where or when. It doesn't say it in Nach, but they refer to a Nevuah that was told to David, that Hashem will be Moser your enemies into your hands. And here Shaul walks into the Ma'ara. There's hundreds of caves in the Judean mountains. And Shaul walks into the one where David is. And it's unbelievable. Kill him! Right? Habol l'hargachash, kem l'hargo, everything there. So, and they looked at it, and they're all excited. It's Bashar. And David said, it's a Nisayon. This is a Nisayon, because I'm not supposed to kill him. He's the Mashiach Hashem, and he deserves a certain amount of respect from me. You'll ask me a kasha, I have all the hargo chash, came the hargo. It's a very good kasha. I don't know if you were thinking of the kasha. The answer must be, I figure, because you're not allowed to commit suicide either. So how do you turn down such a chance if halachically you're allowed to kill the person because he's coming to kill you? So I suggest to myself, I figure that David knew he could run away and live. He knew he would escape, or he had bitachon. Maybe you're allowed to have bitachon that you'll escape. It's not like Shaul was standing there with the gun cocked and it's pointing at his head and David had a chance to kill him before he pulls the trigger. David, it wasn't like that. So David figured he could escape. Hashem had miraculously had him escape from Shaul's clutches until then, and certain stories of Nach, which are nothing short of miraculous, although not an ex goli, but he managed to get away. So he figured, I'll get away. But this is an assignment. But I'm losing track of the point I want to make. My point is, I don't have really an answer. You say, when is it called overexerting yourself? And when is it called laziness? When is it called Hashem doesn't want this to happen, stop pushing? And when is it called it's an Nisayon, Hashem wants to see if I get discouraged, maybe I'm supposed to have bitachon and do. Right? You're supposed to feel, sometimes bitachon, not sometimes, bitachon is supposed to empower you, not make you lazy. If bitachon makes you lazy, then I guarantee you it's not true bitachon. It's laziness. Bitachon is supposed to empower you. It can easily empower you to do it, to do more. And you say, but I don't want to take a... It's hard. It's very hard. I can't give hard and fast rules. You have to judge each situation as it is. You have to know where it's coming from. The Bali Musa say that sometimes a person is faced with a conflict and he doesn't know what to do, what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes you have to pick the path of most resistance. Sometimes a person knows, let's say, what midah he has to work on. I tell this to the people in shul. Let's say they say, should I come and learn? Or should I help my wife? That's a bad example. That's a good example. You'll relate to it. But sometimes it's a real conflict. Not an excuse, but it's a real conflict. I'm not talking about if the wife needs the help, then of course you have to help your wife. And I say that to them too, not just to you. If the wife needs help, you have to help her. I'm talking about, like I say, she doesn't need it, but you feel like you want to do it. Some people have different middos to work on. Women also do. Some people have to work on the ben adam lachavero. They have to work on their empathy. They have to work on their sensitivity. They have to work on selfishness, on egotism. For that person, maybe it's better to be more sensitive to the other one's feelings and to help more, because that's the meat that they have to work on. Or sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes the person has to work on his devotion to learning. He has to work on hasmoda. He has to work on how much he's machshev learning. So he has to do the other way. So life isn't always simple. Many times you have different conflicts. Sometimes you have to work on bitachon. Sometimes you have to work on atzlus. It's really laziness that's motivating you. Bitachon could be is an empowerment. It makes you not lazy. Maybe it will make you more willing to try, to be industrious and to try new things and to be creative. And you'll say, oh, what's the use? I have no koyach. Maybe it'll fail. So you say, I have bitachon. So that's good. It makes you do things. It doesn't. If it makes you stay in bed and be lazy, that's not bitachon. If a person is a workaholic and has high blood pressure and spends too much time in the office, and right, then you know the bitachon should make him a little. I'm trying to show that there's no real rules what should result. People are very complex beings. Every person's different. Everybody has their own demons. Everybody has their own demons. Everybody has their own middos that they have to work on, right? The Gros says that's why we were brought to this world, to work on a particular mida or middos, whatever that may be. So sometimes bitachon says to do this and it says to do that. So when he says, here he's talking about one specific point. He's talking about the over, and again, I'm using the word overexert yourself, but he really just says, exert yourself. I don't know, exert, no. If exert just means not to be lazy, so you overexert. To overexert yourself, to push, to make something happen when it's not going, or there seems to be a time and you wanna make it happen earlier. ubeichur ma shehikdim, or you want to delay something happening, uberibur ma shemiyat, uvemiyat ma sheribay minyonei ha'olam, you have to know if you're trying to, you might be fighting Hashem. Again, we can't know this, but we have to know that the possibility exists. Sometimes you just have to stop already and just let happen what Hashem's plan is. Again, you'll ask me, when do you do that, and when do you, how do you, I don't know. There's no answer I can give you. A person has to develop the art of introspection, of being objective, of being able to hold a candle, or hold a mirror up to their actions, to be able to analyze their deep motivations for something. I don't mean motivations necessarily, intellectual motivations. I mean mitos. What mita is this coming from? Is this coming from jealousy? Is it coming from gaiva? Is it coming from taiva? Or it could be, the same thing could be coming from bitachon. And it says, normally I'd give up and I wouldn't bother. And this, yeah, I'm going to try, I'm going to do. So the Chavis Havavos here is saying that sometimes overexertion is because you have not internalized that Hashem wants things to go a certain way. You know, I shidduchim sometimes, like, you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, you know, you want... Well, you know, you try this way, that way. So when do you throw up your arms and say it's not bashert, I'm giving up? And when do you say this is a nesoyim? I don't know. You have to ask a shayla. You have to ask a shayla of someone that knows you well. Sometimes you could ask a good friend. Ask a shayla doesn't have to mean from a rabbi. It could mean from a good friend that knows you well. And if they say, you know, you just can't admit defeat, it's not a good mita. You know, it's not defeat, but the way you look at it, that it's defeat, you can't accept that. So you're pushing and you're struggling, and just accept the fact that it's not Bashert. It's not supposed to happen. It's not part of Hashem's plan. And you have, you know, a good friend will say, that's what it appears to me it is. So that's what the Chavis Halevavos is saying. And the only time you should overexert yourself, he says, is when it comes to doing mitzvahs and things that you have bechira about, because that Hashem put in your hands. So you shouldn't say, it's not bashert, I should, it's very hard to give an example. Because he's obviously talking about a situation where it can go either way, and he wants you to push forward. Let's say, I'm afraid to give an example. I'll give an example, but I'm speaking out before I give the example, that I don't mean it as Chas V'Shalom, as a hard and fierce rule. This example just occurred to me now, so I'll give it. Let's say, you know, you want to daven, and the day is just not letting you daven. So there he says, don't accept that automatically. Don't say, okay, it's not bashert, I should daven today. Don't let that sentence cross your lips. That, you're allowed to be stubborn and keep trying. The reason I was hesitant to give the example is because if you can't, you can't. If you don't have time, that's why you don't have time. But that's what he means. In where you have bechira, see, really, it's pumfaket. People act the other way around. When it comes to ruchnius, where they have bechira, and Hashem gave it over to their hands, people have a tendency to say, this is my station in life, this is where I'm holding, this is where I'm at. And, you know, why fight it? Why struggle so much? This is where This is me. This is me. That's not me. That's what they have bechira over. And what they don't really have bechira over, let's say earning parnosa or the like, they don't accept the fact that there's a master plan and a way it's supposed to be, and they struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. So that's what the Chayvus HaLovus is saying here. Chutz prat, prat lehishtadlus la'amod b'chovus mishmato, when it comes to being obedient, the kiyam taroso, doing mitzvahs, doing chesed, working on ruchnius, so that's in your hands. Then Hashem said, it's up to you. I'm staying out of the picture, so to speak. I mean, why do I say so to speak? Because it really is a very deep inyan, because Hashem still oversees what's happening. But we can certainly live, we could and should live that Hashem gives us over to us completely. There's no such thing as not basheret. It's not basheret for me to accomplish this in ruchnius. It's not basheret for me it's just not me. That, he says, that you should overexert yourself. And so that's why maybe the key to what I talked about before is to see if there's a ruchnius element involved. What do I mean? When I was talking before about maybe it's a nisayon, so that'll be the litmus test. If you could come up with a ruchnius tikva element for this dilemma facing you, you know, you're pushing, and it's not going. So, you know, if you could smell, if you could unearth an atzlus, then echnami, it becomes a ruchnius tikva pursuit. If you unearth gaiva, it becomes a ruchniastic pursuit because you're working on your midos. So if you're pushing, and if you see a ruchniastic element, then it's okay to carry forth and to do whatever you can do. That's what he says. But if it's not involved with what you have bechira over, then you're not going to thwart Hashem's master plan. So there's no point. So except for that, chosar hakara, you're lacking in the realization. Ba'amitas yidiyoso, really believing that Hashem has everything planned and everything's working according to this master plan. We're not realizing this, not fully realizing, not really believing this massive hashgacha protest that takes place on everything. This is what's involved in Shlomo HaMelech saying, "28 things." So this is really a big chiddush. If you ever read the pasuk in Koheles, or you sang the song by the birds, so then you know that nobody here knows what I'm talking about. Baruch Hashem, I'm the only guy here. So I think the poshut pshat in the pasuk is that it's talking to people. Like you say, there's a time and a place for everything. It's referring to people. Like, do things in their proper time. There's a time to laugh and a time to cry. But it's no kasha. But Chavis is learning that it's talking about Hashem. That Hashem, as he says, I think it's a chiddush in Pshat and the Pasuk. He's talking about from the perspective of Hashem. That Hashem has, there's a time and a place for everything in terms of Hashem's master plan. Eisla ta'as ve'eisla akorna tua. Hashem has a plan when things should be planted and when things should be uprooted. When someone born, die, laugh, cry. Milchama shalom. This is from the perspective of Hashem, he's saying. And there's 28 things there. The Mefarshim talk about this number, like that it's not, it just doesn't add up to 28, but it has to do with more Kabbalistic inyanim of why 28. But there's 28 things going on, and everything has its place. So that's for the Chiddush, I think, that he looks at that pasuk, those psukim, those series of psukim, and he sees it's describing Hashem, Hashem's master plan. The Omar, ki es upega yikre es kulon. What's that talking about? It says in the pasuk in Koheles, and we, if we listen to Koheles or we read it, then you smile when you say this pasuk. Shafti v'ra'otachas Hashemesh. Kilola kalim hemei rots, right? The swift don't always win the race. Below the giborim amelchama, and unfortunately we just experienced that the more mighty armies, and you know, we've experienced it in the past in a good way. Now we experienced it in not such a good way. That the giborim don't always win the melchama. Below the chachamim lechem. Right, we look at some millionaires and we say, "I don't get it. I just don't get it. I'm 10 times smarter and more capable and better than that guy is. Why am I struggling to make ends meet and he's a millionaire?" V'gam lo la'nevonim osher, v'gam lo la'yodim chein. And this is the end of that pasuk. So the Shlomo Melech says, doesn't always go the way we think it should go. Ki eis upega. Yikre es kulam, meaning, again, Hashem assigns the event, the occurrence, and its time. So Hashem assigns it. So this milchama is supposed to be won. This milchama is supposed to be lost. This person is supposed to be rich. This person is supposed to be poor. So this is just, that's what happens. So don't wonder. That's what the Shlomo says. I see. I look around, and I see that it's not the smart people who are the rich people, and it's not the strong people. It's not the intellectual people who are listened to. The Omar ki gavoa mi al gavoa shomer gvohim aleihem. It's also a pasuk in Koheles. That's already a more. What does the pasuk say? If you see a medina, im oshek rosh v'gezel mishpat v'tzedek tireh b'medina al tismah l'cheifetz. If you see a medina where there's injustice, and you see people are there's gnevis and there's injustice, and it's not fair, it's not run fairly. So al tismah l'cheifetz. Don't wonder. Like, how could this be happening? Where's Hashem's justice? And then the pasuk says, "Ki gavoa me al gavoa shomer, u'gvohim aleihem." That's what we talked about. That there's a lot of chains, and a lot of things have to happen. And it's all sorts of things going on. Right? I tell you, sometimes we don't even know, when we figure it out, we don't even know. I've said a few times, I think, when they finally figured out, when Yosef said, "Ani Yosef," so then they understood the history of the last 22 years, and they all of a sudden saw, and they figured out, but they didn't even know. Right? They thought, "Ki l'mechiyosh l'chani elokim l'tneichem." They thought they figured out why all these things happened. Oh, but they didn't know. It was really, there was a bigger wheel. There was the wheel of Bris Ben Abasarim and Golas Mitzrayim and getting Yaakov down to Canaan in an honorable way. So that's really what was going on. You know, sometimes I think of Gush Katif and how many people were davening so intensely. You really have to. It's a very, very troubling thing. To me, it is very, very troubling. How could such intense tefillos by such good people and thousands of them, and such a rishus, such a rishos. How it's a very troubling thing to undergo. Okay. But you know, you look back and you're trying to figure out. You say Hashem has a plan. It changed a lot in Israeli society towards an ultimate good. It doesn't, doesn't do anything for the people. And it doesn't, it doesn't do anything for Klal Yisrael that's in such greater danger ever since that happened, as we're experiencing now every single day. But you have to try to see, you have to try to, you see the bigger picture, you see it tore apart the Avodah Zorah, called the Medina, by many, many people. So you see, there's some good things are happening, and I'm just giving an example how you have to gavoa me'al gavoa. That's what Shlomo Melech says. You see things happening that make you wonder, and it's not for us. We really can't know.
You can never know. Saying the Chumash that the people on the borders will be exiled in their own land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the question is why? So you have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a cheshbon. That's what he quotes this pasuk for. Ki gavoa me'al gavoa shomer u'gvohim aleihem. Means you have this happened for a reason, but then there's a higher reason why that happened. And then on top of everything, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'gvohim aleihem. U'mahalche mishpatei abor yisaleh is really ultimately nistorim v'na'alamim v'na'alim mechdeshin agir liyadiyas chalkeim. We really are never privy to the whole puzzle. We're not privy to the whole jigsaw puzzle. And a believing Jew has to believe that there's a jigsaw puzzle and we're just not privy to it. I tell you, Yosef thought he figured it out. I got it. But he didn't even realize that there was a much larger picture at stake, a much bigger thing going on, bigger even than that. So we see things. He says we don't know. It's Nisala. We're mortal men. We live this many years. We see things with such a superficial eye. So. He says, "Kosh can call the Yosam. We don't even understand the specifics. What happened? One day's newspaper. We don't understand why it's happening. Kosh can the sweep of history. We don't understand. So sometimes you work to understand it in retrospect. That's how the Chasam Sofer explains the pasuk of Ro'isos Achoroi Ufanai Lo Yeru. The Chasam Sofer and Chumash explains that sometimes we can understand history after it happens. For Isa Sachoroi, after it happens, and you see, you say, I see what's happening. But for Nilo Yero, we don't know before, when it's happening, or before it happens, certainly, that we're just not privy to. We're very small-minded, and we don't, we don't even have a concept of what a Kosh Baruch Hu is. It's really beyond our comprehension. But a Jew, a believing Jew, has to believe that there's a plan and a cheshbon when they should invent the light bulb, when they should invent cell phones. Everything is with a plan. And it's measured. For Amar HaKosav, then we just have to listen to this pasuk and just ki gavu shemayim v'aretz ki chigvoa should be ki chigvoa shemayim v'aretz ken gavu d'rachay midarchechem u'mor shvosayim imach shvosayichem. You just have to throw up our hands and say, Hashem is Hashem. I can't understand. I can't figure my wife out. I'm going to go figure out Hashem. So, but you have to believe. That's what the Chavos HaLevavos is teaching us. It's hard. This is a big nisayon. It's a nisayon to maintain our faith and our belief and knowledge that everything is with a cheshbon and everything is measured and everything happens at a certain time, and you have to develop this. And again, in a person's personal life, it's hard. There is a concept in the Gemara, alti doichik es hashoah. Don't push things. If you're pushing for something and you see it's not going, let up. Let up. But don't push. Let up. It's not supposed to happen. So you say, I'm speaking out the question, and I'm admitting I don't have an answer. You say, when is that the dynamic? So I say, you know, you have to know yourself. That's why it's so important to know your own midos, to know your weaknesses, to know your strengths. If you know you're lazy, and you know, like there's a part of you that's saying, Hashem, I'm putter, because, you know, then danger, a warning bell should go on, because maybe it is a Nisayon. So it's good to have a good friend, the Derech Chaim, not the Derech Chaim, the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin on Pirkei Avos, constantly talks about the need for a person to have a good friend that can help you air things out and be objective and help you figure things out and knows you and is not ashamed to tell you when you're not acting appropriately, or maybe even to dig into your midah and saying, you know, you're exhibiting a certain, you're exhibiting a certain midah that's not good. But this is life. Life is working on midos. And life is perfecting oneself. And Mechavis Alvavos doesn't expect that you're going to walk out of here Sunday night and be perfect people. For all I know, you are perfect people already. And you're just chasering how to maintain the perfection. But it's a lifetime of work. It is. It's work. It is work. It's work. Well, nothing more need be said. It's a lifetime of work. Mechavis Alvavos is writing to a person's lifetime. He's not talking about 1 month. In a person's life, he's talking to the whole life. So, but you have to start working. So you learn and you chaz and you think about it. You're troubled by it and you try to make it real and you try to connect to it and you try to absorb it and you struggle and you fall and you try again. That's all part of growth. That's all part of growing.